be here. I thank you for a building where we can come in, get out of the heat and rain, whatever, Lord. We have a place to come and to learn more about you and to study your word. And I thank you, Lord, just for Brother Mike and his preaching and teaching at the nursing home too, Lord. What a blessing that is, Lord, to see the people there just smiling and just being able to sing the songs, Lord. It's just a great thing. And I pray now, Lord, that your word would just come into our hearts and help us to understand something. Maybe we've heard it over and over and over again, but Lord, help us to just come out of here understanding your word a little bit better, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's lesson is the honeybee. All right. So I'm probably going to have people in here that know way more about it than I do, but I want to talk to you about the honeybee. You know, it's a very small insect that many of us probably would rather not encounter. You know, I'm actually quite highly allergic to those things. And in my youth, I would, of course, always be barefoot like my kids. But then I would step on a bee, and, oh, man, I'd look at it, and my leg would start puffing up. My heart would start racing. My hives would start always on the stomach. It starts on the stomach. I'd get hives. One of the first times I was ever hospitalized was because of a bumblebee sting. And it you know, supposedly can kill you and all that. But so I don't really like bees a whole lot, but I sure like the honey. So several people that I know and friends and, you know, a couple of you guys in here and a couple of my, brother-in-law and nephew, they've started Benny. Some of you guys know Benny Peterson. He started raising honeybees. My brother-in-law started raising honeybees. And through that, I started studying it a little bit more. And, you know, they're doing it mostly just to produce the honey, but also so we can learn a little something about it. And during this time, I was able to learn a bit more about that, but also I had the opportunity to meet a guy who builds these hives, a guy from Hobart, Gary area. I don't know if this is being recorded. I shouldn't call him a Polack, but he's this Polish gentleman, and you know, but just a really cool guy, just really interesting, and he builds the hives and all this other stuff, and he raises the bees. Well, he actually sold my brother-in-law these bees and brought them out to us and everything, and he was demonstrating and showing us all this stuff. It was just really amazing. It was fun to be able to watch. So he's a very interesting guy that, you know, if anybody needs to learn more about bees, they could do it through him. But all this got me to thinking of the many ways that a beehive has many similarities to a church. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever thought of that, but I started thinking a beehive has got a lot of similarities to a church and the people of the church. And there's three major components of the bee colony. And again, a lot of this might be stuff you already knew, or some of you may know better, but it's just really interesting the way it all goes. And the first thing is the queen. And then there's the workers. And then there's the drones. All right? Also, there's the hive, the honeycomb, and the honey. So they're two and three, and that's also in three sections. And the scripture for today is Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So let's start with the queen bee. She is the one that gives life to most, if not all, of the bees in the hive. She is the one that reproduces all the other worker bees. And she actually reproduces maybe another or two or three or four or five other queen bees and the drones. And with us, Jesus Christ is the one that all Christians get their life from. Just like the queen bee gives life to them, Jesus Christ gives all the Christians our life. Jesus Christ allows other people to be the head if they so desire. They could, somebody else or some other false Christ could be the head of the person. He gives that person a choice that they can choose, but most of the time they're fake leaders or false leaders. But the queen bee also hatches the other queen bees. But if that queen is not needed, if that queen is not needed, or there are more than one, like the one bee, maybe the queen bee didn't die yet. They only live for about 5 years. The queen bee will eliminate the other queen bee. Good way to say they'll kill it. Don't quite know how, but they will eliminate it and all the other ones, so that there is only one queen bee per hive. And we need one leader. We need Jesus Christ. We don't need all these other false queens and false gods and false Jesus Christ and false things that lead us away from God and the church. So God has given us life. He is the one that has created our so-called hive and has breathed life into existence. Life would be nothing without God. So God is our everything. Colossians 1:16. The Bible says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." The Bible also says in 1 John 5:12, probably a very common, a verse that we should all have this one memorized, because it's that one syllable verse, a plan of salvation. But it's a powerful one. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the queen bee, is responsible for each Christian's life. God created it all, and he has given us, every one of us in here, so much, so very much. And don't you think it would be good for us to try to please, to be a servant to that God? I would say that's the least we could do, is to live a life that is pleasing to him. And by serving him and exalting him above everything else in the world, too often we got those other queen bees we maybe are trying to follow, or some other thing in our life that we're trying to follow. The worker bee. We'll start with the worker bee now. You may say, you know what? What good am I? I so often say, you know what? What am I doing? Why am I doing this? Actually, that's the whole reason I had to do that thing yesterday, or this morning, is because I messed it all up yesterday. I should have done it yesterday, and I was, anyway. So many times, you know, you mess up this, you mess up your life this way, you mess up something, and you know, then you just try to do your best or what you can do. You know, but you say, what can I do? What can I do for Christ? This honeybee serves its entire life just so in the end it can produce, do you honey guys know this? How much honey? They say it's a twelfth of a teaspoon. One honeybee in its lifetime produces 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey. Or maybe a quarter, but who knows? Because it might was probably from Wikipedia or something. But, all right, so then we're thinking, okay, you know, that's it? That's all it can produce? You know, what good is it? You know, why even bother, right? It's 1/12. I mean, that's less than a taste. But that honey, when it's compounded with all the other bees in a hive, which is from 20 to 60,000, make enough for them to not just survive during the spring and the summer, but there's enough honey in there where they can survive all winter long, and you know, approximately 100 pounds of honey or something that man can take out of that. That's pretty good. And it gives us, you know, we enjoy honey, but it also gives us plenty of benefits. And there's a lot of benefits that it gives us, but we'll go into that a little bit later. But that service that the worker bee provided to the queen, that worker bee created, or not created, but helped that queen bee be hatched, be born. That worker bee was responsible for that, for feeding it, for setting up the hive, everything else about it. The worker bee had to do that, kept her alive. That tiny little service that little worker bee did helped keep the queen alive. And it made it possible for that queen to give birth to thousands and thousands of other bees, and even to produce the next queen bee to continue the hive and that colony and maybe many other colonies, as unfortunately we also learned that sometimes your hive splits off and goes to another thing. Oh, wait a minute. It sounds like churches. One hive sometimes, you know, and sometimes it's a good thing. Maybe it's okay for a church to split. I know some big churches that, you know, I went to some of these big churches while we were on vacation. It's like, man, that's so big. I don't even think I would fit in right. You know, it's like, I don't know anybody. You know, it'd be hard to get to know people. But that, maybe a split with that hive starts another whole set of bees. And it's just like the Christian life. You may work and work and work, and you look back at your life and what you've done, and you say, you know, all I produced with all my service to Jesus Christ was 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey. And you may think that. I mean, I do. I think, you know, man, I just haven't done much. I haven't done a whole lot. And that may be so. But that honey, or whatever it is, whatever it was that you did for the Lord Jesus Christ, was very sweet in His sight. Even that little bit of honey. But there is probably things in your life that you were not aware of that maybe helped someone else along the way. You know, what if you helped a young person, even a toddler maybe? Maybe you just talked to him. Maybe you gave him a tract. Maybe you just gave him one verse of scripture. And that kid got saved. Maybe, you know, right in front of you. Maybe that night, maybe later, whatever. That kid got saved. Grows up, gets into a church, finds a mate, gets married, they have children, because now these children, or these kids who are now older and married, they have children, they have parents, the kids have parents who are saved, they teach their kids about Jesus Christ, they get saved. Those kids maybe grow up, they're missionaries. They go on, they teach thousands of other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. This was only 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey here. But it was 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey. Maybe one kid got saved. Maybe thousands of other people can be saved through that little bit of service. Little bit of service that you do. And the Bible tells us that when you have a hand in someone else getting saved, it kind of goes to your account. You know, when they lead someone else to get saved and they lead someone else to get saved, it all comes back to you. Jesus Christ will actually say, you know, well done, just because of that one person that maybe you led to Christ. And we'll have a part of that in heaven. So the worker bee's role, the worker bees have many different jobs that they could be tasked with. And not all worker bees can serve as soldiers. There's actually worker bees that are outside of the hive protecting the hive. Not all of them bring in the pollen, and not all of them are the guards, you know, and each worker has a job to do, and they take it very seriously, as this is their sole purpose in life, to serve their queen. Boy, our sole purpose in life ought to be to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sole purpose. That should be it. Anything else is just honey. Just a little bit of honey extra. I was going to say cream, but it wouldn't have gone with the sermon. Although I love cream and raspberries. Ooh. All right. Anyway, but that is what we ought to be doing. 1 Corinthians 12:4. 1 Corinthians 12:4. 5 and 6, actually. Bible says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." So each of us has been given gifts from God that we may do His will and serve Him with what He has given us. You know, God gave us the gift in the first place, you know, these gifts. But we need to use them to serve Him. And God has blessed each of us with different gifts and abilities. Not all can teach. Not all can lead music, obviously, when I stand up here. Not all of us can work with the children. You know, each have different gifts. And again, you are here maybe thinking that there's nothing that you can do. I don't know what I can do. But there's always something that you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if it's just praying for one of those missionaries. I keep saying this. I've kind of talked to Dave a little bit about it. But, you know, we need to put a little more emphasis on those missionaries on our board with maybe putting something in the bulletin or, you know, just to have everybody praying for one missionary each week, you know, specifically, you know, I think that would work wonders in a missionary's life. We don't have to even tell them we're doing it, but if we did that, I think it would be something powerful. And maybe it's just showing mercy to someone, as it says in Romans 12:6. Romans 12:6, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Maybe it's just to show mercy on somebody and to do it cheerfully. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You know, when you do something, and give it, just make it a simple here. Hey, here you go. Just something simple. The Scripture doesn't tell us that only some people have gifts. It tells us that we all have gifts, but we all have different gifts. Okay, so it's not like, well, everybody's got to have all these. Everybody's got to have all these. No. You know, I believe that God has given us all certain abilities that He wants us to use in order to bless others and to bring glory to Him. And maybe you have no idea what your gifts are that God has given you. My sister said yesterday they did a survey thing at her church in Palos Heights, and, you know, and they're still trying to figure out what her gift was. But, you know, maybe, you know, and I know there's little surveys you can do, Auntie Martha. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, you can figure it out, though. But there's always something that you can do. You know, maybe you get discouraged. You know, maybe you think, well, I'm not suited for any kind of service for God. I'm not. You know, we need to learn to make the most of our mistakes. You know, I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We need to learn from it. I'm told about in the backwoods of Arkansas, there was a man who worked both as a veterinarian and a taxidermist. The sign on his office door read, "Remember, either way, you get your dog back." You know, he makes a mistake and you still get your dog back. All right. That's a little bit easier. But, you know, we can learn from our mistakes, and failure doesn't have to be final. Too many times, you know, you get discouraged. You get, you know, well, I made a mistake, so I'm not going to do that anymore. But you learn from your mistake and go on. And back to our first verse in Galatians 6:9, we read, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You know, they talk about busy as a bee. Busy as a bee, these worker bees, which if you haven't got the point yet, you guys are the worker bees. We are the worker bees. I'm the worker bee. We're supposed to be out here working. We're supposed to be the worker bees, all right? And you'll learn why you want to be a worker bee and not a drone in a minute, too. But you know what? You want to be a worker bee. You want to be busy. You want to keep busy. And isn't it true that many of us give up too quickly? But one of the best ways to learn is through failure. You become a success through failure. Failure also develops our skills. You know, how did you first start to learn to ride a bike? You fell down a few times. How did you, skate and this, that, parachuting, break a foot. You learn. You keep learning. And failure is a stepping stone to success if you try new approaches. And how many stories have you heard about people who failed in one area and that motivated them to try something else? The name of Ray Kroc, who failed. He was a failure, this Ray Kroc, in real estate. So he decided to start this thing called McDonald's. Boy, that sure failed again. No, wait a minute, I guess it worked. He was a failure in that. And the other thing was Colonel Sanders, who failed at everything in his life until he was about 70 years old. And then he started doing what he's always wanted to do in the first place, and that was cooking chicken with his special recipe. But he kept on going. So when you fail at something, maybe God is developing a skill that you didn't know you had. God uses failure to direct us into a new area. And some of us have tried a ministry and we feel as if we failed, and so we just kind of wash our hands and walk away from it. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to develop our skill. He maybe is the one who made you fail. Maybe he's the one who pushed you into that failure because that's not what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to do this. And maybe it's just to get us to stop focusing on us and continually focus on him. Is that the smoke alarm? All right. My pacemaker? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Uh-oh. Ding, ding. Uh-oh. Better hurry. All right. This is how the worker bee lives their lives. What's the worker bee focus? Serving God should be our focus, just as the worker bee's life is focused on the queen and serving her. She's continuously surrounded by worker bees who meet her every need, giving her food, making her feel comfortable, and keeping her alive for the entire hive to prosper. This is how we should live our lives as well for Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. As a Christian, we should live our lives for Christ. Jesus and Jesus alone should be our life's focus. We could learn something from this little worker bee. But then too, there are the drones. Okay, all you drones, raise your hand. No. Unfortunately, huh? All they do is eat and mate with the queen. They eat and mate. They do nothing else for the queen. Nothing else. And there's many Christians out there like this as well. They're saved. They got saved. Maybe even a young age. Whatever. But they're saved. But that's it. They do not do anything else for the Lord. They do the bare minimum. Hey, I'm going to heaven. I know it. Well, I know I'm doing all this and that. I know. But, oh well. But I'm going to heaven. Oh, No, that's not how we should be looking at our life. We should be continually serving the Lord. Don't want to do just the bare minimum. You don't want to be like the drone. You should rather be like the worker bee. Unlike the drone, the worker has it ingrained in its composition, brains, whatever, brain, to take care of their young. It's amazing, how a bee can know to just do all this stuff. It's hatched, and then it starts doing this automatically. It's like a dog, watching a dog be born, or that pony we got, just born, and oh, it's up and running around. That's amazing. That's a miracle. The bees also clean up their hives. I was recently reading a thing about they sent one up to space. I forget how many weeks it was up there, but they did not go to the bathroom in their hive because they had nowhere else to get out. until they got back. And it was still, even in, what do you call it, zero gravity, they were still able to build their hive. It's amazing what God has done to them, what God has ingrained in them that we can't get. Serve the Queen. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They also, the bees, keep the hive warm in the winter. I forget exactly what it was they're doing, but it's getting too cold, the bees will get in there and warm up the hive. And in the summertime, it's too cold. It's too hot in the hive. Well, they're all sitting there flapping their wings to cool the hive and to keep the queen cool. Cool the whole hive down. It's like it's supposed to be at 94 degrees temperature, especially during, what would you call it, incubation time? I don't know what they really call it, when the eggs are in there. And the bees can keep it at that temperature. A worker bee can only go so far before it knows that it must turn around and head back, or else it won't make it back to the hive. A bee can go 6 miles, but it can't go 6 miles out away from its hive, from my church. I can't go 6 miles out from my church. I won't make it back. That's an interesting thing. It has to go 3 miles out so that it can make it back. This is really bad to be preaching this when I'm not here this morning. But but it's easy to start skipping once. You know what? I just won't go this day either. Before you know it, you're 6 miles out. They won't even know me when I go back there. You don't want to get 6 miles out. You want to be 3 miles out. Know what your limitation is that you can get back to that hive, our church. And I have a hard time making it a whole week without, if I miss a midweek service or something. I need this. I need to come back to the hive to rejuvenate. They got to come back. They got to come back and well, we'll go talk about that in a minute too. They regurgitate all their honey and stuff that they do. That's how they build the hive. That's how they do all this stuff. So we're eating bees throw up, I guess. But you know what? I need that. I need to come back and get rejuvenated and go back out. So we are susceptible to this venturing out too far away from God's word. And this is what it's like serving Jesus. When you live your life for him and become a servant to him, you ultimately do his will. And you receive blessings that outweigh anything you could ever receive here on earth from any other employer. It says in John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. All we have to do is serve God, whether it's even 1/12 or serve Jesus with 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey, and God the Father will honor you. And we don't deserve that. But it's true. The Bible told me that. It's true. We are to follow and serve Jesus. We are to be his worker bees and to do his will. And serving Jesus should be our focus. So could you imagine what the life of a bee would be like if they just, I'm not going to serve. I don't feel like doing anything today. If they simply chose not to be a bee. Most people don't realize that bees pollinate about 1/3 of our food supply around the world. Bees pollinate apple trees and berry bushes, vegetables, melons, almonds, and all kinds of other things. I don't know if they pollinate corn and all that. Soybeans, bees are needed for that. I was reading somewhere about and I'm going to mess up this statistic, but 66.7% of all statistics are made up anyway. Get it? Okay. So this is made up. Anyway, but a whole bunch of the United States population of bees go out to California during harvest season, growing season, to pollinate all the food and vegetables and things that they're growing out there. And then they ship them back. Bees are being transported back and forth. And it's a very high percentage. I was shocked when I read that. But they're necessary. They need them. We need worker bees in the church. And many people in our world have made that same choice to, I don't want to serve. I don't want to do anything. Many have chosen to serve themselves over serving God. Many have chosen selfishness over serving Jesus Christ. So God calls us to be people of action. Our mouths might agree, but we get quite cozy in our little comfort zone of you know, maybe we're too afraid to reach out to somebody and do something that might be, you know, a little bit out of our normal, that we don't normally do that. So, but God wants us to serve alongside Him. He doesn't want our excuses. He wants our hearts. So what are your limits in serving Jesus? Do you only serve when you feel like it? Do you only serve if it's totally comfortable to you? Do you only serve when it's easy? Better yet, you never serve at all. I do believe that we all serve somebody or something in this life. And it's a choice to whom we serve. Matthew 6:24. The Bible says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You know, it might be a boat. It might be traveling. It might be this. It might be that. You know, not that any of these things are wrong, but if it's what you're serving, you better get yourself into check there. You better check it out. The main question for us today is this: who or what do we serve? So the queen is similar to the Lord Jesus Christ. The worker bees are like the Christians that have many duties and responsibilities to keep the church and Christianity going. You know, if churches are dying, this country's going to die. If the churches aren't giving and serving and doing things, this country is in bad shape. And we know this country is already in bad shape because of that. But it's just going to compound it more and more. The honey that these bees produce is likened to the Word of God in the Bible. Psalm 19:10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And that's talking about God's words. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, these words are. The Bible, Psalm 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I started to say, you know, all the different things that the honeybees benefits and some of the interesting things about honeybees. Honeybees are used as pollinators, as I said. It is the only insect that produces food eaten by man. It's the only insect that produces food that we can eat. But honey is also the only food that includes all the substances necessary to sustain life. Oh, honey is likened to the Word of God, including enzymes, vitamins, minerals, and water. And it's the only food that contains, pinocembrin, an antioxidant associated with improved brain functioning. You know, I'm sure whoever wrote this didn't think that I was going to sit up here and preach about it, how it's so similar to the Bible. But you know what? Read God's Word once. What's it do for you? It's life. It gives you everything you need. It gives you the food that you need, the water. You know, the Bible, the water, the Word of God. It's considered water. Our Bible has all this as well. If you read your Bible and actually study it, I'll put 100% guarantee on my book, my honey. If you read your book, it'll help your brain function. And it says that's what honey does for you. It'll improve your brain functioning. Honeybees have 6 legs, 2 compound eyes, made up 1,000 of tiny lenses, da 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 da. Honeybees have 170 odorant receptors. compared with only 62 in fruit flies and 79 in mosquitoes. And boy, I thought that last night about maybe the mosquitoes had 189 or something. But mosquitoes were so terrible. But their sense of smell, they have a sense of smell. They know what to do. They just automatically know how to go about doing something from odor recognition, for finding food. How do they know to go to this flower, not that flower, or this instead of that? God is amazing with his design of these things. Their wings stroke 200 beats, not per minute, per second. 200 beats per second. And the average worker, I said, produces 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey. There was something else in here. We all, this church kind of a little bit more so, knows about the benefits of honey, how it's good for you and all that. But, you know, we've also learned that, I guess it was in World War II, that they learned that they put that honey on wounds and it would actually heal the person. Honey will heal you. The queen bee can live up to 5 years and is the only bee that lays eggs. She can lay up to 2,500 eggs per day. Each honeybee colony has a unique odor for members' identification. A hive of bees will fly 90,000 miles. A hive will go 90,000 miles, the equivalent of 3 orbits around the Earth, to collect 1 kilogram, 2.2 pounds, of honey. That's amazing. And it takes only 1 ounce of honey to fuel a bee's flight around the world. And I'm still waiting to see that, a bee with a little saddlebags on it, you know, going around, you know, doing an Amelia Earhart thing, you know. I don't think they'll quite make it. We'll probably find this bee out in the Bermuda Triangle somewhere too. Bees are amazing. But the bees, the hive, the queen, the worker bees, the drones, it's like our church. It's like every church. Are you working? Are you serving? Are you doing anything? You know, that honey is good. It'll heal you. It'll do this. It'll do that. Oh, yeah, of course. And it lasts forever. Oh, that was another one. I'm going to be mixing up places here. But somewhere. They found some honey in one of the tombs in Egypt that was thousands of years old. It was still good. Man. I mean, you know, honey is so much like the Bible. It's amazing. This Bible didn't go bad. This Bible's still good. Just like that honey. It's just amazing, the similarities. And you know what? When I got my honey down in the basement, it's doing me no good. When you got your honey, this Bible, sitting in your cabinet, doing you any good? Nope. Take that honey out of your cabinet sometime. Dust it off a little bit. Sometimes I got to really dust off my honey buckets, you know, because it doesn't go bad. I get it by the 5-gallon jar, of course. So sometimes it gets a little crystallized and I got to warm it up a little. Wave it a Bible too. You got to get that Bible out. Read it. Study it. Learn what you do. What am I going to do to serve Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Boy, something so simple. Something so simple, Lord. And yet it's more complex than I bet you anybody in this room knows all about that. How does that bee make that hive so perfect, Lord? How does that bee do all this stuff? Because, Lord, you ingrained it in them. Thank you for ingraining in us the conscience and the things that we don't even understand. It talks about things seen and unseen, Lord. There's things that we don't even see, and you created it. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for these honeybees. Thank you for the food that they help us with. Lord, through them, we're able to eat better, and we thank you for that. And I thank you now for this opportunity to just learn a little bit more about a simple thing, and yet something so important for us in our lives. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Amen.